Today's mailbag comes to us from Ellen. Thank you for all of the tidbits you continue to send out and all of the encouragement and support. I have had a couple of Sunday baskets as well as four of the binders for the past few years. I have even worked with one of your organizers who I found on your site to help me get started. While I'm almost using the system, I still have not made great progress, but I will. Life gets so overwhelming sometimes. We have a special needs medically complex child who is 14 that requires full care, a 16-year-old son, a family business, a nonprofit, two houses, one of which we are building, and aging parents we are helping to care for. But honestly, knowing that I have the Sunday basket and that I at least have the tools to help makes it not so overwhelming. I will get there eventually and will be super organized, but I just wanted to thank you for how encouraging you and your team are through emails, social media, and podcasts.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
It's back to school time, and that means it's time for back to school shopping. I have said numerous times on this podcast that I would prefer shopping at an office supply store over a clothing store any day of the week and twice on Sundays. I love office supplies. I love everything related to walking up and down the aisles of a Staples store as a kid. Going into Meijer, I'll go down and I'll go back by the school supply section all throughout the year. Like, I love a fresh Sharpie marker. I like a brand new set of fine tip pens. I like sharp, nice scissors. I love office supplies. And throughout the years, I have forgone having good office supplies, and I have indulged on good office supplies. And I want to talk in this podcast about how we make those decisions at home, when is the best time to make those decisions, and how we can really stop tolerating, you know, insufficient and really lackluster supplies as we go about the work of running a home. You know, running a home takes 26 to 28 hours a week. And often we do it with, you know, the leftovers, the hand-me-downs, whatever we can get our hands on. And I know that right now money is actually tighter than it has been in quite a while. We are always going to live in a dwelling. Like, from the time you're born until the time you pass away, you will live somewhere. And that place that you live is really the only thing that you have control over, or at least you have the most control over. Often you don't have control over the economy, where you work, when you work, how much you get paid, what people will buy from you, your family members. I'll just stop there. But we do have control over things that we tolerate in our houses. And often I realized that I was tolerating not having great supplies just because I didn't realize I had a choice, to be honest. Once I realized I had a choice, like, I put an end to it. I've told the scissors story, I don't even know how many times. You guys are probably like, oh my gosh, if Lisa talks one more time about the Fisker scissors and how she wants to have nice scissors. But I'm going to do it again. Growing up, my mom was a seamstress. And so she had nice orange-handled Fisker scissors. Those were sewing scissors. Those are not paper scissors. Apparently, there's a really big difference because I don't sew. I like to cut paper. And I cut paper every single day, all the time. In my PhD classes, I don't understand something, screenshot the slides, print them out, cut them, paste them into my notebook. Like, I am printing and cutting all the time. And I like sharp scissors too. And so I have bought cheap scissors, and I have bought expensive scissors. And scissors as a whole have come down to like, I mean, you could get a really nice pair of scissors for like $5 or $7. But back in the day, you were paying $20. And I remember when I bought my first pair of orange-handled Fisker scissors for $20, I felt like I was Mrs. Rockefeller, that I could have orange-handled Fisker scissors for my paper. And I was in my 20s, like the decadence. Ah! Anyways, fast forward to when my children became, you know, school age and they needed scissors for things. And then I realized why my mother lost her mind about losing her orange-handled scissors and having them used for school supplies. It's not really that they get dull, although I do think that was a problem, but it's also that you don't know where your own stuff is. So as you are doing your back-to-school shopping, or maybe your children are older and you're not buying as much back-to-school. I know once my kids hit high school, there wasn't as much like actual shopping the school supply aisle as there was, you know, buying a bazillion-dollar calculator. But now is the time to think about how many people in your family need good scissors. Let me fast forward. At our office, somehow, bad scissors got purchased. That's what I call the cheap scissors, bad scissors. And the bad scissors, I mean, you might as well just fold the paper in half, lick it, and tear it apart. It's better than using these kindergarten scissors. I don't know why bad scissors are sold, actually. I don't understand. And I saw someone using them. I was like, how did those end up in our office? You may be dealing with this at your office as well. I want you to think about, as we go through this podcast, what your scissor story is. Like, what is the thing where you're like, I'd rather not do it than use a bad supply? For you, it might be cooking. We all know that's not me. Or sewing, or whatever sporting equipment that you're in, or whatever. You know, I mean, like, Greg just realized that his golf clubs are 20, 21 years old. I'm like, oh yeah, we adopted Joey. And then I had a really great, you know, couple of months of creative memories. And I bought him new irons, ping irons. And then we adopted Abby and we haven't had any money since. He was like, well, they have new pings out and they look really nice. So, you know, hoping that I could get that for him sometime in the next couple of years. But once he realized that his irons, which cost, I mean, they're like $1,000, but he's had them for 20 years. He's had them for 20 years. He's loved them. He's never even mentioned replacing them until now. Same thing with the grill. Like for many Father's Days or birthdays or combinations thereof, Greg has received a Weber grill. I don't know, about every 8 years he gets a new grill. And he loves it. Until it totally doesn't work anymore. And we grill out a lot because you all know I'm not cooking. So what is your thing? What is your thing that you do? And you would really like to have good supplies for that thing. For this podcast, I'm going to talk about the role of being a household manager. Like in your household, what are some of the things that you could start upgrading and or getting duplicates of so that your job as a household manager is easier, things that I've done over the years. And the reason why we're airing this podcast in July, you might be like, this is a really weird time for this podcast. Actually, it's not. Back in the day, in my 30s, I played the grocery game and I played it like it was my job because it kind of was my job. And I finally realized that all of the money that I would save on sales and with coupons was actually not bringing an income into our family, but reducing the need for more income for our family. And I guess that's another thing that I want to bring up in this podcast. When you are running your household, which is a lifetime job, you're not retiring from this job, by the way, and it just gets more challenging because you have to deal with different economic circumstances, number of people who are dependent on you, holidays, like it just, it's an ever, never ending game. I love it. There are sale cycles. So I learned there were sale cycles. Back in the day, I loved Coca-Cola, and I drank a lot of it, a lot of it. And Coca-Cola, Pepsi, all these soda companies, I'm sure they still do, they have a sale cycle. And if you like soda, you'll notice this sale cycle very quickly after I explain it to you. And it's like every, it's on sale like every other week or every third week, but every sixth week, it's the good sale. So you know how there are sales and then there are good sales? And soda is like that. And it used to be that it was like every 3 weeks there would be a sale on soda. But if you held out for the second sale, it would be a much better sale. And then a couple of times a year, there'd be like a, just a rock bottom sale. And that's when you would just buy as much as you could afford and store as much. I had a very heavy Coca-Cola addiction, let's just say. So I knew that sales cycle very well. Same thing as like, I used to shop at Kohl's for the kids. And I literally, this is how bad I am at sales naturally. I can go into a store like Kohl's where literally everything is on the sale and somehow find the thing not on sale. And that's the thing I need to buy that day. Like I'm terrible at naturally finding a sale. But I learned the sales cycles at Kohl's. And then there's a certain time when it goes on a certain sale and you use the extra Kohl's cash and then you use the extra, I don't know. There's like just all this different stacking you can do. And this is not wasted time. Like if you are doing this for your household, you're actually not earning an income, but reducing the need for more income in your house in order to meet the needs of your family. And so it's a worthwhile endeavor. And so these sales cycles happen in everything. That's why people buy new sheets and towels in January, because there's always a white sale. Like there are different sales. And I've realized that Black Friday is like the best time to buy like everything. So now I just stockpile my money until Black Friday. And I literally shop on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday that weekend. Like every day I get up and I like spend more money because it saves me so much money. I'll be talking about that this year in the Holiday Blitz. I was explaining it to someone on our team and they're like, why have you never talked about this? And I was like, oh yeah, I guess that would be good. So this is kind of a precursor to that, I guess. Okay, so back to school. So at back to school time, office supplies will be at the lowest price of the year. The lowest price of the year. And also, if you regularly shop the back to school because you have school age kids, so you're up and down those aisles, you'll notice that some of the things that are available in back to school time are not even available the rest of the year. This is a newer phenomenon I've seen in the last, well, before COVID was the last time I was back to school shopping. So it was already happening then. So good deals on scissors happen at back to school, but also finding good scissors the rest of the year is like, I don't want to say impossible, but like you're buying $20 Fisker scissors, basically. There's just not a good selection of more expensive scissors. And more expensive scissors now is like $5 to $7. So it's not a huge investment. But if you don't buy like, I buy like five pairs. If you don't buy like 3 to 5 pairs in July for a total of, what would that be? Like usually I spend about $20 on scissors. So I'll buy 4 or 5 pairs for $20. You literally are going to spend $20 on one pair some other time of the year, or buy the less desirable scissors. I feel bad for the less desirable scissors now, but not enough not to tell you not to buy them. So what other things can we find in July that either you just can't even find any other time of the year, or so inexpensive to buy multiple pairs now, it's equivalent to buying one pair in the future? And that's what I want you to think about. As you're going through a couple of categories in your house, one is office supplies. So wherever you keep office supplies, I don't know about printer ink because I just buy it when I need it now. I'm sure there's a way you could get a sale on printer ink and I must have known what it is, but I always use Brother printers now and really you just can't get a sale on that kind of ink. But if there is, that would be something to look for. Printer paper, especially if you only use like a case a year or something like that. You don't want to know how much I use. So here's another thing. What are you tolerating? That's the second question I want you to ask yourself. So number one, observe what you actually use and what you might want to stock up on. But secondly, what are you tolerating? So what are you using? And you'd love to have something nicer, but it's never risen to the top of your to-do list. So I love our Organize 365 highlighters. They come in pink, purple, blue, and green. And until I started my PhD journey, that was great. Because, I mean, who's really highlighting more than just the yellow color anyway? Me, obviously. But I love the green one. Like, I use the heck out of that green highlighter. So I use the yellow and green highlighter all the time. And then when I started my PhD journey, I started using the purple, pink, and blue. But now that I'm starting to read the literature that will be related to my own research and to the dissertation that I'm doing, I'm realizing I need a lot more highlighting colors. Because when I read, I highlight like everything. And if you highlight everything, then you just have to keep rereading everything. So I have highlighting colors. I know, you're surprised. Everything that I find interesting, I highlight in yellow. And then if I already know it's going to be a different color, I pick a different color. Anyways, you don't need to know all that. Go to the PhD podcast if you're interested in how I color code everything. Well, along the way, I realized I need even more highlighting colors. And I had bought a pack of Sharpie highlighters. They're like 8 colors. And I used them for a couple weeks on an assignment. And I was like, oh, this is going to work. Like, this is going to work for me in my PhD. So I went on Amazon and I bought 3 more sets. And you're like, how many highlighters do you need? I need 3 sets. Thank you for asking. I need a replacement set for the set that I'm currently using at my desk. I need a set by my bed because I tend to read a lot of my literature and everything in my bed. And I want to have all of my colors available to me. And I need a set that is in my purse at all times in case I have literature in the car when I'm getting my hair done and I need to highlight then. Because the cost of having extra highlighters is much less than the cost of me trying to wish that I had the right color to highlight something. I mean, I'm going to be doing this for at least 2.5, 3 more years. And if I need to highlight something blue because it pertains to the people in the study and I don't have a blue highlighter, this is going to be a problem. And then all of a sudden, I either have to stop doing what I'm doing, which is not going to work with as little time as I'm going to have at my discretion, or I'm going to have to like highlight it in yellow and then write in the margin that this should be blue. No. I need to have the right color highlighters. Also, ironically, at home and at work, all of my pens have run out of ink. So I used to buy the flare pens? Papermate pens. And then I bought the Amazon version of that, which is a little bit more inky. And I liked it. And then I was like, I'm going to try all the pens. This was like a couple months ago. So I bought Mr. something, Mr. Pen maybe. And then I bought something, Mr. Pen, no, that's no. Bought something else, no. So I was like, all right, do I like the Amazon pens or do I like the Papermate pens better? And I decided I like the Amazon pens better. And all of my Papermate pens are running out of ink. Like you go to use them and they're not writing very well. And then we put the lid on and we put it back where we just took it from. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? So I just started putting the lid on, putting in the trash. I'm like trashing like a pen or more a day. So I went on Amazon. I decided I like the Amazon ones. I like the 12 set, not the 19 set. So I ordered 4 boxes of the 12 set. 1 for my desk, 1 by my bed, 1 in my purse, and 1 at work. And you may say, that is a lot of money in pens. Actually, they were 50% off when I bought them. But anyways, you get the idea. Now, I then went through like I did when I was 12, and I tested every single pen at work and at home. And I pitched all of the ones that did not work. And now I have fresh pens. This is no longer tolerating not having the right highlighter or the right pen. Another thing that I have noticed that I have been tolerating that I would like to solve, I think this is going to end up being a Christmas present. Don't worry, nobody in my family is listening to the podcast. Joey, Abby, and Greg, I don't think they've ever listened to a single episode, so it's no spoiler alert here. I love electric screwdrivers, and I have one at work that I like better than the one I have at home. It looks like a little tiny, it's not straight, it's angled. Has a little light on the end of it when you use it. You can actually change out the tip so that you could put in like the little square one that you would need for IKEA furniture or things like that. But the one that we have at home is a little bit bigger. It's a little bit heavier, doesn't have the light. And somehow I jammed in the Phillips head screwdriver attachment and I haven't been able to get it out for 6 years. So if we're not screwing something that's a Phillips head screw, I'm doing it by hand for 6 years because, this is what we do at home. Oh, well, I guess that thing's broken. I'll fix it later. And we never do. Like, we never do. And, like, I'm not going to be like, Greg, can you use the pliers to get this thing out? Because anyway, it just doesn't work very well. So I just need a new one. Now, it used to be back in the day when I was 30 and you wanted to get an electric screwdriver, it was like $45. It was so expensive. But I think the one that I bought for the warehouse, and maybe Vanessa bought it for the warehouse, but I think the one we got for the warehouse is like $20. Like they're just not $50 anymore. Plus, I don't need one that's like the equivalent of a drill. I just need a handheld one. I'm not doing as much assembly as I used to, but when I do assemble, I really don't like to do it by hand. And I would like to use all the bits because we have like 95 bits, like a million different little bits that you could put in things. So I'm going to be looking for one of these little screwdriver things. And when I find one, I'm buying four. And the reason I'm buying four is because Joey and Abby are going to get them for Christmas. And they're going to be ecstatic because they now have their own places and they like electric things as well. I want a new one. And I'm just going to get a backup because it has driven me so crazy that I haven't had one for so long. I probably don't need the fourth one. Maybe I'll take it to the office. And then we'll have a repeat over there. Anyway, you see what happens is you put up with something so long, but that by the time you replace it, you buy an extra. Just so you don't have to worry about this thing again. Two other areas that I have stocked up on, and oh, this has saved me so much time and headache, I cannot even explain it. Are years ago when my kids were little, that's when we started buying batteries in bulk, which are ridiculously priced. And that's the problem. This is why we don't do this. The reason why we don't do this is you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to cost a bazillion million dollars. It's not going to be that much. It's going to be like more. It's going to be a lot, but not that much. And so you don't have to do it all the time. Like you don't have to go out and like, oh my gosh, everything on this list I need to go buy because Lisa said I'm tolerating this. I need to buy my supplies. No. This is a new mindset I want you to adopt going forward. Oh, it's back to school time. Oh yeah, office supplies go on sale at back to school time. What office supplies do I need for the year? For the year. And then stock up on those. Oh, it's a red, white, and blue holiday. Lisa always mentions that paint goes on sale on the red, white, and blue holidays. Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day. That is when paint will go on sale. Really, anything you want to buy at Home Depot, Lowe's, you're going to be able to get it on those days, and it will be lower. That's what I have observed to be the lowest when you sometimes get rebates. Now, could you find it lower some other time of the year? Maybe, but I know consistently that both stores run those sales every time it's red, white, and blue. So if I'm going to do any kind of a household-related project, that's when I'm going to shop for paint. And you're going to end up saving like $5 a gallon. And if you're painting a lot of stuff, that's going to end up being a lot. If you're painting a whole house, then you might want to do a little bit more research and find the best deal for you. Okay, so back to these other two things. So batteries. Batteries are ridiculously expensive. The best place I've seen to buy batteries is Costco. But I'm not always at Costco. And, you know, when you go to Costco, you don't only buy batteries. So I don't know if it really is a cost savings because once I get there, like I just spend a million bazillion dollars. So the other place I buy batteries is Amazon. And in our laundry room, we have a place where I keep batteries. And when we are getting low, I just buy more. And that is another thing that I have started giving at Christmas to the kids is AA batteries. They need AA batteries for everything. And the other area in which I stocked up a few years ago, and now I try to keep this as well stocked as possible, is light bulbs. So light bulbs, this is a problem for me because I like the old kind that supposedly are bad for the environment. I don't know. I don't like the new ones. I don't like when they break, then I'm worried. Anyways, we don't need to go into my light bulb obsessions, but light bulbs are difficult. And it just seems like there's always new kinds of light bulbs. Maybe this is my 51-year-oldness coming out. I'm like, back in my day, we had normal light bulbs and you just replaced them. Now I feel like light bulbs cost a lot of money and you need to have this certain kind. And now they have like this little yellow filament in some of mine. And so if you can't just replace the kitchen candelabra light bulbs with the dining room candelabra light bulbs because they have a different aesthetic. And then, oh my gosh, Joey knows that they have different hues. And he's like, this one has a cold hue and this one has a warm hue. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So now I do two things. One, I buy replacement light bulbs before I need them. So anything in our house that has a light bulb, there's at least one replacement. And if it's a candelabra type thing and two have burned out, I replace all five. And I can keep the ones that were not burned out as backups until I have to do it all again. You could see I'm still working on this one. This one isn't as systematic as maybe it could be, but you get the idea. So in my laundry room, I have like little storage areas storage means prepaid store, remember? Little storage areas for certain place where I keep light bulbs, certain place where I keep batteries, certain place where I keep the electric screwdriver and screws. I also have a huge section now for baby proofing. All the leftover things for baby proofing next the bedroom door. That's the next thing I have to baby proof as soon as Grayson climbs out of the crib. I've already bought what I need. I just haven't used it yet. So this podcast has gone out probably longer than you thought anybody could talk about supplies at home, but I could do this for longer. I could totally talk about this longer. As it is back to school time, you may not be going up and down those back to school aisles. Just, you know, get yourself a coffee, spend 30 minutes, walk up and down the back to school aisles at your favorite store of choice. You would be surprised the variety of what's out there, and you would be shocked at how low the costs are. Stock up on index cards. That's when I started using index cards so much. Highlighters are like free. And it's just amazing how inexpensive a lot of these office supply things are. And I will leave you with this. I regularly freshen up my Sunday basket in my Friday work box by relabeling all of my slash pockets and getting new slash pockets. And I know that slash pockets don't go on sale. And so it's not as, it's not like, oh, seasonally, these are going to go on sale so I can stock up on my slash pockets. But it is a gift that will continue to give you time if you do it. So I definitely do this in July and December, where I go through my Sunday basket, I completely empty it, redo my slash pockets. Sometimes they get worn and they need to get replaced. And I relabel everything going into the new season. You're getting ready to go into fall, the 10 most productive weeks of the year. Now is the time to relabel your Sunday basket for what you have coming up for the second half of the year. And in my work box, I do this more frequently. I do it at least once a quarter. And when we're in a heavy growth season, or I'm trying to puzzle through the continued, there are just a lot of complexities in your job and in business. And often I find that when I spread all those slash pockets out on the floor, oh yeah, this one's already done, or this one's almost done, or oh my goodness, I have all this stack of papers and there's no slash pockets to put them in because I haven't created new slash pockets for pink ideas that have now become purple. Or there's a person in charge of this instead of me now, so this needs to go in a blue slash pocket, or we've hired a contractor. As you get more and more proficient at using the colors and realizing that in every single system, blue is a person. So blue highlighter in my PhD is for the subjects of the study that I'm reading about. Blue at home is for my family members. Blue at work is for my team members. Then anytime I see blue, I always think person. Likewise, every time that I see pink, I think, okay, that's an idea, or that's a research, or something that has not been green lighted yet, or it's personal. And so that matches in every single system I have. As you become more and more proficient at this, you can then add in the colors of red, orange, and yellow in any system once you are no longer thinking about what the colors mean in the first system. So what I mean by that is, once you've been using the Sunday basket for a year, you're ready to add on, you can add on more colors. We're going to be talking about that in the Back to School Blitz. You can add on a color for meal planning if you want to really double down on that. And meal planning is the number one way that Greg and I always get our budget in line. And unfortunately, we're working on getting our budget in line right now, because the world has gone mad. So we are reining in our grocery shopping. We are starting to cook from scratch again. We are eating less meat, and we are eating less quality meat. And we are shopping at Aldi for our produce now, which is a great place to shop for your produce. Greg and I went in there the other day. It's been like, I don't know, 15 years since I've been in an Aldi. And they redid it. It's such a little store, but they redid it. And I was like, holy cow. Greg's like, oh my gosh, this thing looks great. I'm like, Greg, strawberries, $1.63. I don't know what strawberries cost, but I'm pretty sure that's low, because I remember when I was shopping for strawberries 20 years ago, they were like $3.69, and now they're $1.63. So anyway, you're going to live in your household forever. Forever. Maybe not this house, maybe not this condo. You're going to live in a dwelling for your entire life. No one is coming to do this job for you. You are in charge of the housework, and it is a more than part-time job. And if you put a little bit of extra time and effort into your job as the CEO and COO of your job, then you will also be able to save money, which means you'll need less money to run this household and do it with less frustration. That's what I really want for you. The more organized you are, the more prepared, the more you're able to shop the sales, the more you're able to say, yeah, I don't need any more scissors, Lisa. Like, I don't know why you have 19 pairs. Oh, I could tell you, but I won't. But what I do need is I need new spatulas, new measuring cups, new whatever the thing is that you need. What is the sales cycle for that? When is the best opportune time to buy that? And what cadence do you need to repurchase them? And then just put that in your budget, because when you could buy things on sale that you know you're going to need, that will save you time, mental bandwidth, decision fatigue, and money, I mean, that is a winning combination. So just think about it. What stores in your house, storage areas, need to be freshened up, organized, and at what level do you want them stocked before you have to go to a store and pay whatever price is being offered at the time? All right. Happy shopping.